Well, if you remember 2.5 years ago, time slides by. I forget how long it's been. It was a Bible study we went through in February 2014. We went through tools of Bible study, and we went through all the ways of different tools that you can use for Bible study. And it's one that I've been wanting to use as kind of a part two, and this is kind of the part two to it, of how to use them and putting them to use. So that's what we're going to look at today on this topic. The handout you have, hopefully everyone has it. We have one handout. It was the one that I passed out in 2014 in case you didn't have it, or I know there's quite a few that weren't there that time as well. But we'll touch a little bit of it briefly, but it's one that, again, is helpful to look at. And this topic is one we think of the importance. And I'll have people that will come up and, well, you know, how do I go to this? How do I do this? And I say, well, it's a good topic maybe to cover. What's the process? How do you try to prove something? If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, we see a scripture that we've turned to often. It's kind of an interesting section. Basically, this section will refer to part of this in the sermon as well. But it's basically dealing with persecution, suffering for righteousness' sake, not being afraid of threats, not being troubled. And then we see in verse 15, during that section of those troubles that will take place, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And it goes through, doesn't necessarily end there, verse 16, having a good conscience that when they defame you, not if they defame you, but when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Again, we're doing what's right, understanding people will defame us. Not too hard to see some of the things that are already being slung at Trump, and here the guy hasn't even had a chance to get into the presidency yet, and you got riots, you got people that are lambasting him, and you think, okay, it's not going to be too hard to see a society that will start to go against God's people very quickly. But we see verse 15 again, and as you think about this phrase, but sanctify, this word sanctify literally means set apart. Set apart the Lord God in your hearts. What this process goes through, and always be ready to give a defense. Always be ready. It's interesting, even a defense, it doesn't say, well, go on the offense and start blasting people before they even come to you. No, it's talking about being ready to give a defense. And that's always difficult. Usually I always think of the best comebacks or the best verses. I'll think of them that night after someone will say, well, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. And then that night I'm like, oh, I had a good comeback for that. Here's the good scripture. And so it's a training process, being ready to give that defense to everyone, not just the people we want, not just friends, but anyone who comes up asking you a reason for the hope that is in you. So it starts to talk even about a relationship, people that will come up and ask you. And again, that attitude we're to have with meekness and fear. Not being the know-it-all of, well, I know all the answers, but with meekness of fear, well, here's what God's word says, pointing to it and understanding who we ultimately will give account to for what we give an answer for, ultimately to God. So we think about this always being ready to give a defense, being prepared. And so we hopefully with the Bible studies that we go through that today, specifically looking at this topic. This word for sanctify in this verse is an interesting one. It's the Greek word 37 in the Strong's, hagiazo, means to hallow, to sanctify. It begins this process of this relationship with God. This word literally means to withdraw from fellowship with the world by first gaining fellowship with God. It doesn't mean you don't have fellowship. Someone's coming to ask a question. Well, you're fellowshipping to, here's the answer. But you understand, you set God apart first. You're not, well, here's what I think. No, here's what the Bible says. Another definition of this word, set apart, sanctify, means to regard and venerate as holy, to hallow. Again, we're not holy, apart from God, understanding God's the one that's holy, set apart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Again, where that begins. A lot in that verse as we think about, but again, this being ready always to give that defense. What we're going to look at today as we think about this attitude, you know, when someone comes up to ask you a reason, it's not someone shouting at you. It's not someone trying to put you in your place. It's someone coming up with a teachable heart. And that's refreshing to see and even rare to see. I'll even sometimes see it in the church, those who will just make statements. They don't want to know. They don't want to ask. Here's what I believe instead of, well, here's what I believe, but is this backed up in Scripture? What does the Bible say about it? Sometimes even in the church, it's hard to see that teachable heart. But it is always refreshing to see a teachable heart, to see someone, oh, well, here's what I think, but what does the Bible say? Looking to God for those answers. Again, we see God can work with individuals, and this being ready to give that defense to anyone who asks you a reason. Again, that teachable heart that's there. So this afternoon, what we're going to look at is one question that I've seen through the years. It's a good question, and one maybe you don't think of as, I don't know, we can take it for granted, I guess, because when I first heard it years ago, I'm like, well, that's a good question. Well, what does the Bible say about it? This question I've heard through the years goes something like this. I've heard different versions of it. It says, how do you know afflicting your soul is referring to fasting in Leviticus 23 for atonement? The word fasting is nowhere found in Leviticus 23 for atonement. You think, really? It's not the word for fasting. It's afflict your souls. Well, how do you know afflicting your souls is fasting? What is the Bible? How do you know for sure? And so you start to think about this topic, and you think about what the Bible says about it. Well, where would you begin? Well, usually you begin with where they ask you the question. So you can turn over to Leviticus 23. The first place I like to go is, because I've seen people that, well, here's what the Bible says, but they'll misquote it. And, okay, well, let's make sure we know what the Bible says first. We think about this topic, and so going to this question, and this is usually where it's brought up, verse 26 of Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the tenth day of this seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So we'll start to go through this whole section. This first place that is found here in verse 22nd, verse 27, you shall afflict your souls. Well, it doesn't say fast here. And as we go through verses 26 through 32, the word fast is not mentioned anywhere here. It's this phrase, afflict your souls. So how do you know afflict your souls is fasting? Where do you go to? Well, as you think about that handout, again, you start looking at the sequence. I'm usually, if I'm being asked directly, I'm usually saying a silent prayer to myself, asking God, not to myself, but to God, asking, well, help me to answer this right. Where do I need to turn to? What do I need to go to? Obviously, prayer should always be there to seek God's direction in your Bible study. Not that we're seeking our own ways, but we're seeking God's ways always. And as you look at your handout, each of these is listed on there. You have the translations usually. These don't have to be in order, except for usually prayer is always the best way to start. But then you also have the context of the scripture. You have comparing it to the rest of the Bible. You have the Greek, the Hebrew words. And you have commentaries. These are all sources, and it doesn't mean you go in this order. Sometimes my first thought is, well, what's the Hebrew word mean for this? But each of these is important because you maybe get a piece of the puzzle. You get a little piece of, well, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And so you look at the translations as you go to this second principle of the translations for this verse. They help a little bit, but it's amazing how many different translations there are. You start comparing them, and we'll look at Esort a little bit to try to show you how to do it easier on there. These I've just typed up in verse 27. King James says, ye shall afflict your souls. New King James, what I read earlier, you shall afflict your souls. the RSV, ESV, which is the Revised Standard Version and English Standard Version, says you shall afflict yourselves. The New Revised Standard, you shall deny yourselves. You start to get to a little bit different meaning here. The NIV, New International Version, deny yourselves. The literal translation, you shall humble your souls. Good News Bible says you do not eat anything at all. Again, this is more of a paraphrase, but it's interesting where it takes it. Do not eat anything at all. The ERV, which is the easy to read version, some of these are more paraphrases, says you must not eat food. Well, again, it goes beyond just that. The BBE, the Bible in basic English, you are to keep from pleasure. Also the CEV, Contemporary English Version, everyone must go without eating to show sorrow for their sins. So each of these keeps adding on and gives a little bit more. Amplified was a good one as well. Amplified, again, is, I like how Amplified will work. It will give you the verse, but then kind of put in brackets or parentheses the meaning behind it. And so it kind of separates what actually is in the verse. Amplified, you shall afflict yourselves, and then in brackets, by fasting, in penitence and humility. In penitence and humility. So each of these adds a little bit, but still it doesn't clear anything up. I've rarely seen going to different translations where it solves it completely. That's where then you start looking at, okay, well, what's the context? We see the verses around it. We're dealing, obviously, with the Day of Atonement, verse 27 through 28. We see verses 26 through 32, this whole section on the Day of Atonement. Verse 28, it continues, "And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted of soul on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest." The only annual holy day that has this signature, a Sabbath of solemn rest, that goes to the weekly Sabbath, the same wording that's used here. A Sabbath of solemn rest. "And you shall afflict your souls. On the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath." We see the only place that's mentioned in Scripture where it is from sundown to sundown, a fast, as we see, or this afflicting of our souls. This evening to evening, it's not just, well, for a few hours of the day. We see 24-hour period from sunset to sunset. But we see more of the context still giving us this breakdown of this word from verses 26 through 32. It's interesting how many times this phrase is used. Verse 27 and 29 and 32, we see this afflict your souls, afflicted. We see different versions of it. Afflict your souls, verse 32. And even in verse 29, very strong, you're cut off if you don't. And then we see another phrase that gets used over and over, verse 28, 30, 31, and 32, no work, not to do any work, do no manner of work, solemn rest. When you start to look at some of the things that were required with fasting, even no sex was supposed to be done on fast. You can put in your notes 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. It talks about do not deprive one another except for consent. With consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Again, you're becoming at one with God, that fasting period that goes through. We also see this emphasis throughout this section. Sometimes people, I always like sometimes asking a question after I've been asked the question. And I'm not trying to put them on the spot, but I'll say, okay, well, what do you think afflicting your soul means? If you don't think it's fasting, what do you think it is? Just to see what they've been studying. And I've had one that was just mentioned and said, well, I think it's just humility. I said, okay, well, are we just to be humble on atonement? Well, no. I mean, so you start to think of other questions. Well, okay, well, we are to be humble, but we're always to be humble. It's an attitude we're always to have. So afflicting of your souls means more than just humility. There's something else with it. There's a lot to it, actually, as we'll go through. But it's interesting as you start thinking, okay, well, what does it mean? What does this afflict? Again, it gets mentioned three times throughout this section. We see it mentioned other places besides atonement. And we'll see a few of those. The next sequence as we look at this handout, again, comparing it to the rest of the Bible. Maybe the linchpin that I think of, the first place that comes to my mind, it's usually written in my margins to help me remember, but Acts 27, verse 9. You can hold your place here. We may be back here at least Leviticus one more time. Because if we're trying to find out, again, we've got to know what the Scripture says. Is it referring to fasting? Is afflicting your souls include fasting? Why didn't God just put in there, which includes fasting? It's not in that section. So it's interesting when you dig into it more. Acts 27, verse 9, where we see this reference, Acts 27, verse 9, specifically talking of the time of season, but we see specifically atonement mentioned here. Verse 9, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast, capital F, in my Bible, yours may have it as well, the fast was already over. Paul advised them, basically goes through the next, that we shouldn't be sailing. It's not the time for sailing. We shouldn't be taking a ship out after the fast. Most commentaries will give this meaning for what the fast is. Barclays has this to say, now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. The statement that's made here in verse 9, we see even in my margin, if you have a margin in your Bible, it's interesting in verse 9 that mine literally will have a footnote that goes to the fast. And my margin will say the Day of Atonement, late September or early October. You start thinking about time periods where we even in our area deal with Florida, different areas that have hurricane season. It usually is in the fall time of the year. And usually after that time of late September to early October, we see in the Mediterranean area it was not a time to sail. It was dangerous. You could maybe get there, but it was more iffy. And so we see this time period that's referred to here, again, as the fast. Every commentary that I found, each one mentions this referring to atonement or that time period of atonement, when atonement fell. It's interesting because it's referred to as the fast. Why wouldn't it be referred to as the humility if it's just talking of humility? So fasting is definitely mentioned, as we see in here in Acts 27. I also find it interesting there is not a single place in Scripture that says atonement, you don't have to fast. If afflicting of your soul does not mean fast, then God would clarify it somewhere in Scripture to say, yeah, and just as a reminder, it means afflict your soul, which doesn't mean you have to fast. But we see plenty of evidence that does talk about fasting. Other verses as well that we'll look at. Why comparing it to the rest of the Scripture is important, because again, you're wanting the whole context of everything together. This is one of those Scriptures, Acts 27, verse 9, which is a good one to explain it. But again, we don't want to end there. Okay, well, what about the actual word that's used, afflict your souls? The Hebrew and Greek are good ones to go to. Obviously, we're looking at the Hebrew word here for the Old Testament. Greek is primarily in the New Testament. There's also the Septuagint, which is the translation of the Old into the Greek, which is helpful at times. But here we see in the Hebrew, for this word in Leviticus 23, verse 27, we see this word used, and I'll always mention this, and sometimes I've even had people, well, what is Strong's? Strong's Concordance is basically a book we used to use a lot. Now it's all pretty much on the internet. But they still have books. You can usually pick them up at Goodwill if you don't have a computer or if you prefer. I like having one on my shelf just in case I don't have my laptop. So I'm not, oh, no, I can't study something. But it's a great book. I used to have it in high school. It's the only way you could really look things up before internet and word searches for Bibles. It will literally go through every single word in the Bible. You get the exhaustive concordance, and it has every single, even everywhere the is. Believe it or not, it's a huge list at the back. But you can look up different words. Here you can look up afflict, and it will give you the list of everywhere afflict occurs in Scripture. And then it will give you the Strong's number, which the Strong's just gives you the number that then you can look up the definition in the back. And so why I'll usually mention H, H just means Hebrew. And so you have H6031. Generally, there's a 6031 in the Greek. If it goes up that high, I don't think it does. But H just distinguishes this is the Hebrew word, so 6031. But also in this section, in verse 27, it has in parentheses H853, two words that are tied together for this same phrase, afflict your souls. And then we see it well used in verse 32 and verse 29, these same two words. So it's interesting to look up this word and to see, well, what is this meaning? H6031, the first main part of this phrase, afflict your souls, is this Hebrew word, anah. It's a verb indicating to be afflicted, to be oppressed, to be humbled. So nothing wrong with saying humble. We are to be humbled. And when you start to think of fasting, it does humble you. But again, we see this oppressed, to be humbled. We also see it refers to being oppressed, in a state of oppression. We'll see where this word isn't just for fasting, what's used. It also means to bow down, to humble oneself, to be humbled. This other word that's linked with it in verse 27, H853, is the word, it's a small word, just et, E-T. This is a participle, points out the definitive direct object to a biblical Hebrew sentence. It usually is not translatable. It's normally employed in Hebrew prose, but may often be missing in Hebrew poetry. When you start to get to the structure of a sentence, you start looking at, well, each time this occurs with them together, it is afflict yourself. It's interesting on atonement. We don't go to afflict others. Hopefully I never do on a sermon, I'm not afflicting you. But it's to afflict ourselves. So there's some principle we are to be afflicting your soul, what this phrase is used. So that's where this your, this et, is this participle that then points to the afflicting, but the afflicting of your soul. Why these go together and where we see these together. These two words occur together 25 verses, 25 times that these two words will come together. You'll also see just anah by itself. But it's interesting, I see them together here, so I want to see where they're pointed to, where this is mentioned. Virtually every single one of these mentions the atonement. Leviticus 16 mentions this, verses 29 and 31. You can put in your notes. This goes through atonement, specifically the whole chapter where the two goats, we went through that on this past atonement briefly. But chapter 16, verse 29 and 31 mentions this. We see it three times mentioned that we've already looked at in Leviticus 23. We also see in Numbers 29, verse 7, again, a mention of atonement and afflicting of our souls. But it's interesting, it doesn't always atonement that's mentioned. You can turn over to Genesis 15. Start to get the full meaning of this word and why God didn't just say, yeah, it's a day of fasting. It is, include fasting, but we see it means more than just fasting. Genesis 15 and verse 13, we see this covenant made with Abram, and then we see a mention of what would take place in the future. Genesis 15 and verse 13, the same words used here. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly." How would you like to have a covenant with God and him to throw this, here's what you're going to look forward to in the future for your ancestors. Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them, talking to the Egyptians. So the Israelites weren't afflicting themselves. They were afflicted for 400 years. They would be slaves in Egypt for that 400-year period that's talked about, this afflicting as slavery. And so we see, again, a difference between atonement, because we are to afflict ourselves, we're to afflict our own souls. But here we see this same word that's used here, this will afflict them. The Egyptians would afflict the Israelites as slaves for 400 years. Other words that are used, you can put in your notes, Genesis 31, verse 50, the same word afflict is used, talking to don't afflict my daughters. It's talking about, I think it's Nahab, I'll look over there. Don't want to misquote it. Genesis 31, verse 50, we see Laban talking to Jacob, not afflicting his daughters as he takes them back to his own country. And so with same phrase is used for, again, he wasn't saying they were slaves, but he was saying, don't afflict them. Take care of my daughters. They're your wives. Take care of them. Don't afflict them. We also see it also references to rape. You can put in your notes 2 Samuel 13, verse 22, where Tamar, the sister, was forced, which was rape. We see the same word for afflict is used for someone being raped, unfortunately. But we see the same word. We see this word alone, just 6031, is also used in Leviticus 23, verse 29, is used 79 times, or 79 verses. So it's interesting to look up this word, because it does give a full meaning when you start looking at all the places that it talks about. As you think about this Hebrew and Greek word, again, esword is a good one, and I want to cover a little bit of this. We mentioned it, I think even referenced a little bit. There are other good Bible programs, so I'm not trying to say, oh, everyone's got to get esword. Pick the one you like. Usually it's the one you've used for a while, one that you're used to how to do it. If you have a laptop or computer, eSword I like because it's free. I also like it because I've used it for a long time. So that's why I'm used to it. The more you use it, the better you get at using it. But I know there's other free ones out there. Someone was mentioning in Elkhart, the Blue Letter Bible is one that's online you can get to. But it's one you've got to have internet for. eSword, you can have it on your laptop, I can have it on my iPad, and I don't have to have internet. I can, it's mine. I like that, where I don't have to rely on an internet signal for it. But again, it's a good source for searching words. Also, a concordance will work, as I already mentioned. Strong's is a good one. Again, you can pick these up for almost probably a buck at Goodwill. I still will use it from time to time whenever I can't get onto my laptop. It's handy. But again, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is the one I have up here. There's others as well. Also, an interlinear. I mentioned these in the Bible study as well. The interlinear, I like because it will actually go through. There's sometimes where commentators or people will add a word in, and they'll put something in. Where this will show me, I can look it up in the Bible right into Leviticus 23, and I can go look up exactly where the Hebrew word is. It'll even have the Strong's number above it so I can look at it. But then it will give me the order, what was there, and then I'll say, well, something's missing or not. In this phrase, verse 27, it's kind of funny to read it because you have God offering, how it mentioned it, just it's how the Hebrew words line up. But it talks about atonement, a day, the seventh of the month, the tenth only, saying, souls, your humble shall be a convocation. So you start looking at how the words are, but you can look up through very specifically. It gets more detailed because then you can see where the Hebrew word is, the Strong's number, and looking it up a little more detailed. And so it kind of gives you the next step up from Strong's if you're wanting to get even more detailed. I've looked that up as we are going through this. But it's interesting as you look at eSword, and we'll pull out a few of these other mentions of other places. I'm going to get to eSword here and pull it up so you can see. I know it's probably harder to see in the back, but this will give you where you can start looking things up. So you have the Bible that's, I have my little pointer here. You have the Bible. All the translations are over here that I have on mine. Almost every one of them are free. All my commentaries are over here. And then you have the dictionaries. This is where I can look up my words that I'm looking up. I wanted to start somewhere where you see where I go. It's at Psalm 1, verse 1. So you hit the Bible books, you go over to Leviticus, you choose 23, and the one we're looking at, then you scroll down, you see it at verse 27. And I'll click on Leviticus 23, 27, it'll get highlighted. And then from there, anywhere that it has an I, it tells me there's information by these commentaries on this specific verse. And it'll give me dictionaries. Should show up down here as well, but I don't see it. It should tell me which dictionaries have something to say on each one. And the way I have it set up right now, this is the King James with a plus sign. I like this one where I can look up specific Hebrew or Greek words. And so for this one, we have the King James Version, and it will go through, and ye shall afflict your soul, where I talked about here's H6031 and parentheses H853, how they go together. And what I'll do then is, I've already mentioned it, but I can search in the Bible. I can go to Bible and search, and I can specifically, if I have this up on King James Plus, where it will give me the Strong's numbers, I can now type in H6031 and hit enter, and it will show me every single place that this Strong number is used throughout the Bible. And so that's why I'll usually tell you in statistics and sermons, I'll say, well, it occurs in 79 verses, has 83 matches at the bottom, and it will highlight it. So then I can start to go through and read. Okay, well, we already looked at Abram afflicting them for 400 years. Everywhere where this word occurs. Well, this one is interesting because you can also type in your secondary word. If you want to say, okay, where do both of these words occur together? You can then type in H853, and then it will show you both places these words are used together. Again, one is mentioned, I mentioned Genesis 31, verse 50. Not everyone is atonement, talking of not afflicting my daughters. But it will show in the highlights everywhere that this Hebrew word is used, which helps me because then I go, okay, where else does it mention it? Does it ever talk about fasting? Does it ever mention different things that we're looking at? It's an easy way to search it. I've used the Strong's years ago, and I don't go back to it unless I don't have a laptop. It's so much easier just to be able to type in a number, search it that way. But also you can search other things. And so you can type in afflict. The problem when you type in afflict, it's up to the commentary or it's up to the translator to decide when he had decided, well, you know, this doesn't mean fast, this means afflict. He changes the word. When you use the word that's in the Hebrew, this is every time in the Hebrew that this word is used. So it can come in handy. But there's other times where I'll use it and type in afflict and find out everywhere it occurs. But when you can fine-tune it even more and dig into it, it helps. The commentaries, as I mentioned, are helpful because then I can click on certain ones that will tell me what it says about that verse. Each one will have different strengths. Keel and Delitzsch is a good one. They usually have a little more detail, and I can click on each of these that has something to say. It'll have an abbreviation, but if you put your mouse over it, it will then tell you what that is. Jameson, Fawcett, and Bound, another famous one I'll quote quite a bit, JFB. Usually will have a briefer statement on it. But each of these, I think every single commentary up there that I have is free, so there's a lot of free ones out there. You can go up to the download key at the top of here. You can click on download, and there's Bibles, commentaries, dictionaries. You can go and get all the free ones and have all those put on and then have all those options. There's also another neat feature, as I mentioned, the parallel. where you can type on parallel and it'll give you whichever translation you want. It'll put them side by side. And so it'll give me here the King James, the Amplified, the Message, New King James, Literal Version, and any others I want to put on there. And then I can see them side by side. Okay, well, what does it mention? Some of the paraphrases will either have a little lengthier, or like the Message can sometimes shorten things up. But you can compare them side by side. Really handy to look at it that way. But you start to look at this word that's used, and you can look at other things. I love it on my iPad because I'll usually go through Proverbs in the morning on it, and you can highlight things. And then it will keep it highlighted for you whenever you use it on your device. Here I don't use it as much, but I can go on and click different words. Usually whenever I'm searching something, I'm thinking of it in the New King James. So I click on the New King James, and if there's a word that I'm wanting to highlight, I can simply highlight it and then put on, if I don't have, why would you have a white highlighter? I don't know. You can select different colors and give it a white highlight of, or a yellow highlight for whatever word you're wanting to do it. Then whenever you come back to sections, you can, oh, okay, that stands out. That's one thing I do a lot in my personal Bible. Everywhere I see certain phrases, I'll highlight them different ways. So then when I'm studying a topic, I think, oh, well, that's this other topic is in the same section, and it kind of stands out. Any questions with eSort? Anything that you see that, am I going too fast? Some of this is just a lot of experimenting going on in yourself, digging into it. Wanted to cover at least some of the basics. One of the things when you're searching these things, it depends on the translation you use that will be helpful. Because for me, I grew up with the New King James on my lap, so whenever I'm usually thinking of a verse, it's in that mind of mine that I'm thinking of New King James. So if I'm searching for it that way, I'll go to New King James and search for it. Again, you can just go up to Bible, hit search, and you can type in a word. You can type in the Strong's number if you have the King James version up. But it's helpful because then if you're looking up a specific phrase, I'll do this a lot for sermons, and I'm like, well, I wonder where else it talks about this subject and what else it will talk about, where else it will reference it. And it helps come alive when you're studying in the Bible because even this morning I was looking up what we turned to in 1 Peter for, now it'll be blank in my mind because it's not my notes, but where it talks about 1 Peter 3, to sanctify God in your hearts. And so I'm like, well, where else does it talk about sanctify God? And so I started digging into some of that this morning, which may go into a sermon in the future, but it was a fun study because I'm thinking, wow, I hadn't thought about it being over here. And God will start to go through and define it just by looking at it at other places in Scripture. So a handy tool. eSort, again, free, as long as certain things you have to pay for, but to me, when I first started out, I just got all the free stuff and enjoyed that, and then eventually added things on that I needed. I know New King James you had to pay for, so that was the first thing I think I bought because, as I mentioned, that's usually the way I think of a verse in the New King James in my mind. But again, it will go through different commentaries up here, which are helpful. Some you have to be careful of. Some are very Methodist, some are very Protestant-y, but they'll still have good history in them. But you just have to make sure you're reading it for, okay, well, here's this one. Barnes Notes is that way. It can be good at some points, others not. One of these, it's not on eSword, but one of the commentaries I was looking up was Barclay's. Many of you probably heard of Barclay's. Barclay was a commentator, goes through mostly the New Testament, but he hired it out to other people in the Old Testament. But it was interesting looking up different things. When I looked up Acts, it again goes to that this was atonement and mentions very specifically what it was mentioned. But then I go to Leviticus 23 and chapter 16, and you have the same commentary, and you got to be careful. This one has a wrong commentary in it. This one goes through the afflicting, and it mentions the Day of Atonement, which is accurate. And then it mentions at the end of it, it says, you shall afflict yourselves in it. And so it became something like the Ash Wednesday of the Christian calendar. No, it didn't. Ash Wednesday is a pagan holiday that is taken from paganism, has nothing to do with atonement. But because of the stint of, well, you know, this is what we're pushing our days, Easter, Christmas, you got to be careful on certain commentaries, because that's why, as I mentioned with commentaries, it's good to go through a bunch of them, and then you find out there may be one or two that are a little off, but for the most part, they can be pretty accurate. So hopefully that helps you. Any questions with eSword? Anything that you always come up to me and ask me? I usually always have my iPad where I can explain something to you as we go through those. But usually it's just digging into it, finding out yourself. Again, you don't have to have that many versions, that many commentaries. I just like having a bunch of sources that are free so then I can kind of compare them and look through them and give me more study aids. Any other questions with that part so far? So we look at this topic again as we think of the computer. And one of those that we think of, let me get back to the PowerPoint. Again, is the commentaries or the other study aids. Ones we think of that are good. Another one that you usually can find at Goodwill fairly cheap is Vines. The reason you're finding them cheap and strong is because people are going to the laptop and they don't need big books on their shelves. Vines, you can look up certain ones. I've looked up Anon there, To Be Humbled, goes through the verb. Probably a step above Strong's. It goes a little bit more detail. But still, you got to be careful. I know that there's things that they don't have accurate at times with anything. You always have to make sure you're checking multiple sources. Sansino Commentary is one that I've mentioned. This is another one that I like. It usually will always have the Jewish push on it. As we've mentioned, I think when we went through Samson, and they're always, he didn't really get hooked up with someone who was a prostitute. She just was an innkeeper. Well, you dig into it. No, she was a prostitute. And it's more of the saving face. Wow, you know, our hero couldn't possibly have done that. Well, that's what the Bible says. So you got to be careful of these. Sansino is a good one overall. I have the whole set. It's an expensive set, but a good one. Even if you just pick up the first five books, the Pentateuch on there, I use this one a lot because it'll have Leviticus in there when I'm looking up different things. This one specifically, when you look up the Day of Atonement, it goes through the Hebrew word, talks about Day of Atonement, and then it even will have afflicting of your souls, talks about fasting in it. So it does give that understanding of what this Day of Atonement was. Typically was talked about with fasting. But it will give you definitions more that you can dig into to look at certain ones like that. Also, as I mentioned, Barclays, again, you've got to be careful. It's usually very basic, but sometimes it can get off. And that's the ones that I mentioned with afflicting, with comparing it to Ash Wednesday. Not what the Bible says, but still can have good other basic things, usually a good basis of history. A couple other different books that are good. I think I got both of these at Goodwill as well through time. Our biblical or Bible manners and customs. Nelson's puts this one out. And it will go through. Well, I looked up fasting. I looked up afflicting of souls. And it will go through and talk about what it was done. This one talks about the Day of Atonement. It talks about the 10th day of the 7th month, the most solemn day in the whole year. It was a day of fasting and holy convocation. So specifically, again, talking of fasting, something that was typically done. This one I especially love because there's times where we take words for granted, even like shofar, the shofar being blown. And then it will go through a whole section on the shofar, different things, and wow, I didn't know that's what they used it for. So that one's handy, as well as manners and customs of the Bible. Usually you can find they're good history books. They'll go through topics that, to be honest, I'll go through and I'm like, hey, I hadn't thought about that. I didn't realize that's how they did it back then. And then realizing, well, how it does tie in with what the Bible says. So those are good ones. You can usually find different types of those out there, usually fairly cheap as well. Also, Zondervan's Topical Bible. The last one I have here, I think. There's also Knave's Topical Bible. I've seen these at Goodwill at times. They are good ones for just basically taking a subject and going through every single verse that talks about it. It's a little more detailed than Strong's, as it will go through, for this one, humility. And even in this section, it will start to go through afflicting of souls. And then it will list everywhere humility is talked about throughout the scripture that will tie in to that topic. So that's why it's called a topical Bible. It will cover that topic. But sometimes it may not cover everything about it. So that's why it's important as you go through all these. But again, another good source, another one to look at. And obviously not in order, because probably one of the first places I would look at is your booklet. Our booklet, United's booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, I'll often usually have in my library, ones that go back to Mr. Armstrong's age. I love those. These are very good going through and hitting the topic, because usually they've answered this question with someone else. I like to cheat. No, I don't like to cheat. But if someone's already done the research for me, I want to go, well, yeah, where did they turn to? Where do I prove it? It will probably mention Acts. It'll mention different places. And so that will even have a whole section here. On this one, page 38, God's Holy Day Plan, it has a whole section on page 38 talking specifically about afflicting of your soul, what it means. And so that is very helpful. Helps with that. Also, UCG's website is another helpful one. Wanted to pull this up. I've had conversations with people. Yes, it's always fun getting to know something new. And with the new website, to be honest, I like the old one. I got used to it. So now the thing that I keep hearing from people, and what I keep hearing on how you search things, it used to be when you would go and search, so say you have all these headings, I'm new, congregation, sermons, all these. I used to remember, okay, I had it fairly memorized. Okay, I can go to this section, here's where the booklets are, and then boom, I can find what I'm looking for. Throw that all out. I like it now because you don't have to memorize it. I'm good because I forget where things are. Here, the biggest thing when you're searching something, so say if you're looking for afflicting of souls, remember to search it. Don't even worry about the headlines here. Go right up to this white box at the top and just type in what you're looking for. Type in afflicting of souls. It'll tell you everywhere that it's mentioned in past articles, booklets. And it will just immediately bring up, first question, why afflict your souls? And it'll go to an article. Actually, that one's a sermon, so it'll even give you a sermon that was given on it. It'll go through everywhere that it's talked about. Very handy. And I can't get over the emphasis of use the search box. I had someone came up to me in another congregation, and they said, I can't find the chairman's letter anywhere. I knew exactly where they were. And I said, have you used the search button? It's like, no, that never works. I'll use the search button. And so I even got on my iPad because I wanted to see if it worked. And I type in chairman's letter. And guess what? The chairman's letters pop up. So it's helpful. It goes right to where you're wanting. Another one that I've mentioned is the Bible study course, I think is the one that Bible commentary. And it will go to, say, if you're looking up Leviticus 23, it should take you. We'll see. I'm going out on a limb here. Bible commentary, UCG. This is a great commentary. It goes through with people in the church that have put this together. And if I pulled it up, it will immediately go to the section you're looking on, and then you can click on Leviticus 23. And go right to the section that you're looking at for that section. It'll also give you other supplementary reading, things to look at if you're looking at that. Some things will have very little written about. Some will have more. But it's very handy. So I can't get over how easy it is to search now. So it's getting used to a new system. But so far, I'm loving it. I don't have to, okay, where was the, and I used to have to bookmark the Bible commentary so then I could find it again. Now I don't have to. I just hit Bible commentary, and it takes me right to that section. So that is extremely helpful. extremely easy to get to. So anytime you're looking up something, hit the search button. Hit that top white box and search for whatever it is that you're looking up. And so far it hasn't led me astray, but it's helpful. So that's the biggest thing with the new website to keep in mind. If you haven't signed up, the one that I've always mentioned in the announcements is this top right corner. Right now I'm logged in, so it shows my name and my picture. That's where yours would be if you're logged in. If you aren't logged in, it will look like this. So I'll log out. It will just say sign in, sign up. So if you haven't gone on there, go to the page, go to that corner, click on it, and it will give you the option either, first of all, on this side of signing in with my current password and email address or username, or if I'm brand new, put in your name, your email, your username, and create an account, and it will take you right there. Then, I'll try to talk you through this briefly since we're on this. Then you can look up congregations. You can click on congregations once you're logged in, and it will tell you ones that are close to you. Should tell me Munster since I'm right here. It has Marion, Indiana, which is not. So you can type in Munster. And it will tell you within 105 miles everywhere that we have. And there's Munster right there at the top. It even has a picture of our building on this side, but it will show you the closest ones, Chicago, Elkhart, Beloit, Bloomington. And then you can click on it. Click on it, go to Munster site. And this is the biggest confusion that I've seen with searching on the web. All right, so you have this whole menu system here. This is for the main website. So you can look up sermons from any congregation. But now that you're in Munster's page, now you can look up sermons just on Munster. So you have to look at the lower section. And this is where you'll join the community. You can click on community and ask to join. I'm already on it, so it won't let me, but it'll give you a big button. And again, the handout back there should be back there. We'll go through and step through all the things about that. I can email it again, but it will list all the members. So we have all those that are on here. There's two pages, so there's a couple more people on the next page. Talk about the maintainers, those at the home office, those that help put sermons up, edit it. But then you can click on sermons. You can click on, I missed last week's sermon. I'd like to listen to it. You can go up there, and this will tell you the popular ones. But then if you click on more, this is where I like, it will then take you to them in order. It'll take you the last one that's been put up to be a pillar last week, and then it will give you them in order through it. It'll have sermonettes, everything up there. And then you can just simply click on it, listen to it, and then it gives you that. But what people will often do is, okay, I'm looking for sermons, then they click here, and it will take you away from the Munster website. So stay with the sections here. You can download it. You can listen to it right online. Downloads are over on this side. I know I'm stepping through it quickly, but I didn't want to spend this much time on the website. But at least it lets you know that. So anytime you have questions, let me know. I can show you on the iPad. I know Mr. Flom can show you as well. And any questions, don't feel like, I don't know how to do it. I don't want to ask. If you have questions, let us know. Sometimes it's an easy solution, and sometimes there's still the glitches. So it's good to know, they haven't fixed this part. So it lets you know whenever you're downloading, you have to go to downloads, and then you can click on it. It'll put it right on your laptop, or you can listen to it online. Seemed like there was a couple other things. Munsters. Here's the other thing. So each of these, again, are on the Munster webpage. So you have the welcome page. It's just for new people. Posts will then show the pastor's letter. It'll show you the bulletin you can click on. Address list is on there. Again, I emphasize these are all private. Only people that are on our Munster page that we've approved, there are a few from other congregations, but only those people can get on there. So if they don't have approval, it will just kick them off. It probably won't even show up on theirs. But you can look at those things listed. You can download them so you have your copy. The other one that I'm wanting to get to more, and maybe where we even get rid of our bulletin in time, we'll see, is putting more things on the calendar online. This tells you everything about Munster's calendar, and it's a good one. Some of these things are public. We put all the Sabbath services, Bible study today, the times. So if we have to change anything, I will update those immediately. Hopefully, I won't forget. But there's also some which I just figured out this week, things I can put on private. I only want you as members to see it. I don't want anyone to be able to get on and see it. So if you're wondering, well, when's Mark Mickelson visiting? I have this one on private just for members to show, well, December 3rd is when he's going to be here. I also put on when our next council meetings will be, so you'll know where when I'll be in Cincinnati. But any of the Bible studies, Sabbath services, anyone else can see those. But there'll be more that I'll try to put on there that are, okay, here's just for the members to see. So when we have our feast photo social, I haven't put that up here yet, but I'll try to put more specifics, potlucks. That way you can go to it if it's easy for you. I don't want you to feel, oh, we've got to switch over. I know there's those who don't have internet, don't have websites. We'll still try to keep things printed off as well. But the more you go here, I try to keep this updated. I'm still working on it. But trying to keep more things on there. So if you're like, oh, where's my bulletin? I lost it. I can't find it. Go to the website if you have internet access. Look at the calendar, and you'll have all that information that's on the bulletin. So that, any other questions with the website? Any other difficulties anyone's had? Any questions? I know you want to ask in front of everyone else. Don't feel bad later. If you have a question, you can talk to me about it. But again, that will go through the calendar, different things. I think that's pretty much the main things I wanted to cover today. Maybe each Bible study, if I have opportunity, I'll talk a little bit more if there's been more questions. The biggest thing is remember the search button. Sorry, I didn't mean to put my picture up there. You have the search button, search for things, and it will help out immensely. So we think of these study aids. Again, the website's a good one. It helps. Let me see if I get this here. Again, these aids, again, the website is handy. There's also the old Mr. Armstrong site that has all the old booklets. Those are wonderful as well. Digging into topics that, again, have been covered through time. Again, so I wanted to cover a little bit about the website. Back to, as we conclude, we think of eSword again being helpful. We see the commentaries that we've already looked at, those commentaries that we have up here. If you want to look at any of these, you're welcome to afterwards. But also you see this, again, comparing it to the rest of Scriptures. As you think about comparing it, we already looked at Acts chapter 27, verse 9, that talks about the fast. Other places you can put in your notes, we won't turn there, but Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, talks about the same word, afflict your souls, afflict ourselves, and it's in reference to fasting. You have other references that talk about this. We also see Psalm 35, verse 13, talks about humbled, or the same word that's used there, afflicted, humbled my soul with fasting. We see fasting being linked over and over with afflicting of our souls. The reason it's not specifically mentioned is because, we'll get to this here in a little bit, it's more than just fasting. I'm ashamed to tell you, but there's been times that I've fasted where it wasn't a spiritual fast. I got so busy with, well, I got to get this off my to-do list, and I'll get back to my fast and digging into the Bible. And then I get to the end of the day, and I realize all I did was I didn't have food and water today. But I didn't get much more Bible study in. I got all these things off my to-do list, but I didn't afflict my soul. I didn't draw closer to God. So we see this fasting is part of it, but it goes more. Isaiah 58, verses 3, 5, and 10 also talk about fasted. fasting and this importance. Also, Christ talks about it in Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18. Again, when you fast, God's not saying we don't fast. We are to fast. So we see this importance of fasting. We also see Esther 4, verse 16, talks about fasting being without food and water. Without food and water, both together. So we see several of these. We'll go back to that in case people are still writing those down. But they're good ones to look at. Again, it mentions this, again, comparing it to the rest of the Bible. One of the most important topics as you dig into it is looking at what the Bible says about fasting, what it says about afflicting. It's interesting as you look at this conclusion of this summary of affliction, or afflict your soul. When you look at affliction, there are three ways of affliction throughout the Bible. When I dug into this whole topic, looked up every word that talks about afflict, there are three ways of affliction. Specifically, we see affliction that man does to you. Slavery is in here. Rape, unfortunately, is in there. You think of what man does to you, what someone else does to you. They afflict you. Slavery. We see the second affliction is affliction God does to you. He sent Israel into captivity to try to wake them up, to repent. Affliction that God does to you. And then we see the third, with what we see with atonement, is affliction we do to ourselves. And we see this affliction that includes fasting. Fasting is part of it. But it goes beyond. If you think of fasting, you're digging in the Bible more. You're praying more. You're drawing closer to God. But it's something that you afflict yourself. And so we see this fasting that's part of that. What we go through, that again, we draw close to God. It's the only one that I've seen throughout all the Bible that talks about how you afflict yourself is with fasting. And that mention of what fasting is, what we see through Scripture. So again, affliction goes beyond just fasting. Isaiah 58 talks about it. We went through a whole sermon on Isaiah 58 where it was, well, they were just doing without food and water. God says, that's not a spiritual fast. You're not drawing closer to me. And so that importance of going beyond just no food and no drink, we are to have no food and drink on atonement, but it goes beyond that. There's a drawing closer to God, that affliction, that spiritual fast that occurs. And what occurs with that is you start looking at all the areas that go with it. Attitude, humility, drawing close to God, seeking God's ways, submitting to God, drawing close to Him. All that applies with that afflicting of ourselves. So hopefully that helps with this topic. And again, it applies with any topic you dig into. When someone comes up, you know, the biggest ones coming up now will be Christmas. Well, why don't you keep Christmas? Well, where do you turn to? What do you look at? Christmas is nowhere mentioned in Scripture by the word Christmas, but it's definitely mentioned in places of pagan worship and others. So they're good ones to think, okay, well, how do I dig into it? Again, nothing wrong with coming and asking me, but you've got to make sure, well, how do I prove it? How do I make sure that I know what the Bible says? How can I answer a question? Again, this same principle that will apply to others, and maybe in time we'll go through it again on another topic. I always love certain questions. Yeah, well, how do you prove it? Because that comes on you. It doesn't, well, you know, I've never had a sermon given to me on this topic, so it's not my fault. No, we've got to make sure we're digging into the Scripture, proving it, being prepared for when those questions do come, that we are prepared for them. So thank you again for being here. Sorry to take you 5 minutes over, but I did want to look at the website a little bit. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate. Come up and ask me. I know we have snacks back there, so enjoy the extra fellowship as well. And thank you again for being here.